Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know how relevant this is, but considering we have Neil Greenberg, the official analytics expert of the B. Mitchell Finley program. Unfortunately, there's no financial compensation for that title.
He gets a lot of recognition.
That's right.
Yeah.
This seems relevant, Greenberg. Our dear friend Wendy of Wendy Knows Sports fame sent me an email and sent the whole company an email. Good afternoon. I have a couple of tickets to Iron Maiden in Baltimore.
Whoa.
Do you want Iron Maiden tickets, Greenberg?
Do I want Iron Maiden tickets?
It was last night, idiot.
I'm aware. I wanted to make the offer in case he couldn't make it, and then at least we offered.
But
and
no,
then,
you can't offer after the show's already been done.
I actually saw them. I've seen them three times. I saw them last time they came through. Johnny Cakes Allville got me a ticket, and we went together. So I have seen them, so there's no hard feelings that I missed out on this time around.
Well,
but
if you and Lampfield could have played it cool, we would have just gotten credit for offering.
No, man.
Yeah.
Everybody already probably sitting there saying, fool, the concert passed already.
Greenberg doesn't know that this email's from yesterday.
Greenberg is an intelligent man. He would probably be like, JP was stupid.
Now, if you would have said Metallica, which is coming up, then I would take you up on
that's
that.
That's what he's offering you, Greenberg.
You know what?
He's going to pay for what he said.
Greenberg, I know a fella that has a bald head, and his name is in the rafters at Northwest Stadium. And Metallica, I believe, is playing Northwest Stadium.
If I call and ask for Metallica too, they're going to say, you know you're not going there.
I think you and Greenberg should go to Metallica.
Oh, we can tape it. We can do like a video thing.
A TikTok. Oh, Greenberg and B. Mitch make a Metallica TikTok. Neil, did the Commanders get screwed last week against the Steelers?
I mean, we weren't done any favors. I think it obviously looked like – I assume you mean the Eckler first down. It looked like it was a first down. That's tough because I think Washington wins that game. They had a couple of bad bounces. That's probably the first game this year that they lost, right? Like they – I would say that they lost that game in terms of they just had to slip away from them. But, yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, you know, we're talking about a team that is clearly ahead of schedule. A win in against Pittsburgh, I think, changes a lot of minds that weren't already changed about the team. Could have gone either way. But, yeah, I think that they were robbed a little bit.
Specifically on the Ertz spot or what?
Yeah, their Earth spot, I think, for sure. Because you look
early
at the I've seen a lot of still frame videos, and it looked like he was past the line. Now, I get the line on TV isn't the line that's the actual line. You know, we're talking about a couple, fractions of an inch maybe. Mm-hmm. It's a tough one. I mean, I think, you know, the analytics say that Washington should have won that game when you adjust for factors like turnover luck and third and fourth down conversions, et cetera. They probably should have won that game by a field goal and said they lost by one. You know, I think it's okay, though. I mean, this is a game. It's okay. I mean, I think Washington's still very much in the mix for the division. I think they're still very much in the mix for the NFC. They were never going to go undefeated. There's going to be losses here and there. I think the only knock on the Commanders right now is the two losses have come against perceived good teams. So I think a lot of people still have doubts about them.
But think about this, though, Greenberg. I know people keep saying that. Those perceived good teams lost to horrible teams. Think about that.
I'm asking overall,
not saying you. What does that mean then? Like, the perceived good teams lost to trash teams.
I think it's people looking for an excuse, to be honest. I think they're looking for an excuse to justify their priors of this Washington team was not supposed to be good this year.
Okay.
So I think that there's a lot of yeah buts, right? And I think I've talked about this before. I mean, the NFL is in a no-win situation because if you beat the teams that you're supposed to beat, you're still a fraud. And if you lose the teams that you're not supposed to lose to, you're a fraud. Like, it's very difficult to shake that type of mentality around a team unless you're blowing out, like, you know, the Ravens by 50 and then you follow it up with blowing out the Steelers by 50 and then the Eagles by 50. Like that just doesn't happen in the NFL. There's going to be some weird stuff, fluky bounces, bad spots, weird penalties, et cetera. I think it's fine. 7-3, you know, headed into the more than the halfway point of the season. I think it's going to be good. Obviously, big test against Philadelphia on short rest. And then you still have two more against Dallas in the division. The division is still very much up for grabs.
Division is very much up for grabs. A lot of it
totally.
Tomorrow night will go a long way in deciding who grabs it. Let me ask this, Greenberg. I don't know how you analytically answer this, right? Talking with our friend Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post, knows the numbers, sports, analytics, betting, all of it. Did Washington lose that game? Or did the Steelers win it? Was it a choke?
Yeah, I think that Washington lost it. I think if you play that game 100 times, Washington comes away a winner most of the time. You know, the biggest gain for the Steelers in terms of, like, the analytically the biggest gain was on a punt return fumble recovery. You know, stuff like that you can't really count on from week to week. And those are the things that the analytics try to tease out and adjust for, because that's not really what the true talent level of a team is. Like, we don't see many punt return fumble recoveries. So even though they count as points on the scoreboard, we try to mitigate that a little bit when we're looking at the underlying true talent level. I think it was just a game that Washington lost. I think it's in the overall grand scheme of things, I don't really think it changes anything. I still think Washington's a top 10 team. I think a lot of the objective power rankings out there will have them as a top 10 team. I know the subjective rankings are normally by record, so they're going to be up there as well. I think this is a good football team that still is trying to figure some stuff out, and they lost a close one, and, you know, their bigger test is on short rest in tomorrow night.
What's your overall assessment of the team? As you just look at it, without analysts, you see them play, you watch them play against different teams. When you look at them, what are you coming away with?
They're a good team. They're a well-coached, well-put-together team. It's not easy to put all these new parts in. You know, you have the off season to get them up to speed, sure, but they're 7-2. They're 7-3 when many thought that they wouldn't win more than six games. So I do think they're very well coached. I think Dan Quinn in particular, and I'm not in the locker room, but this is just for me as an outsider, sees him as one of these player coaches that's not necessarily like he's buddy buddy with you, but it's more like the players seem to know that he has their back, mm-hmm. and he commands respect, right? Like, that to me is also a player's coach. It's not just a guy that, you know, maybe like you go goof off with in the locker room or whatever. I think he's really got command of this team. I think there's an adult in the room that commands a lot of respect, and I get the sense that the players enjoy playing for him. So I think it's a very well-coached team. I think that they're obviously exceeding expectations. But there's just a lot to like with this team on offense, obviously, but also the defensive improvement. I'm really impressed with what they've done this year.
There's a lot to be impressed by, and I'm glad you said all. But now tell the world where you have them in your power rankings. This is where you always make everybody mad.
Oh, I don't know if I'd be mad. I have them, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11th. I have them 11th, but they're tied for the 11th with the Bengals. So really, I have them in like...
With the Bengals, they destroyed the Bengals.
Yeah, but it's you know how this works. It's not just like one game type thing. But that's fair. I think the better way to look at this is there's a clear like top two, top three teams, in my opinion. Detroit, Baltimore, and I would even put, Buffalo in there. Or you can kind of put Detroit and Baltimore and then kind of separate it, Buffalo, Philadelphia, Kansas City. And then I think you have, like, another group of, like, the 49ers, Chargers, Cardinals, Steelers, Bengals, Commanders. You know, like, they're all bunched up. And you can move them up and down in these tiers any way that you want. I wouldn't really find any quibble with that. But I think that they're solidly, like, in the, you know, in the they're solidly in the NFC contender category. And regardless of, like, where I have them ranked in terms of points, like, I think there's only a handful of teams in the NFC where you can legitimately make a case that they're better, right? Detroit, Philadelphia, maybe, depending on how you feel about them. San Francisco, if they're healthy. And then I think Washington's right there. So I think that, you know, in terms of the NFC, they're very well positioned, and I think my rankings reflect that.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I asked you about the Chiefs. The Chiefs haven't played a good game yet. They're still undefeated. Should the rest of the league say, damn, if they start playing well, we're in trouble, or what?
Yes. I mean, they're 9-0, and they have the best quarterback in the game. I would say arguably one of the best coaches in the game. They just got a new receiver who can stretch the, you know, who can stretch the defense and kind of gives Patrick Mahomes something else to work with. You know, the fact that they're 9-0 is a little bit scary, right? And then they had DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, you know, like you said, Patrick Mahomes hasn't played like out of this world, right? Like he had the game against San Francisco was kind of a clunker. They're winning a lot of one score games. But they're also the two-time champion. And I mean, I'm not counting them out by any means. I do think they probably deserve to have like maybe 6 wins instead of 9, but even 6 wins in the NFL this year is still pretty good. So I think that they're obviously a top contender, and I don't think you would find a team in the league that would say, you know, they have any interest playing Kansas City with any sort of stakes on the line.
All right, so specific to that, our friend Drew Cohen is a big listener of the show and a buddy of ours. He's very smart, so everyone will recognize that this question is not really coming from me. Talking with our friend Neil Greenberg here. You can follow Greenberg at N Greenberg, sports writer and stats geek, not nerd, for the Washington Post. Okay, so Drew, analytical mind. He wants to understand what, if any, ways numbers can show. Like we're just talking about the Chiefs. The Chiefs have been losing in the fourth quarter throughout the season and go on to win. And Mahomes might throw picks, but he doesn't do it late, right? Like, I bet if you go and track Pat Mahomes' interceptions, the vast majority come in the first half of games. And I don't know what WEPA stands for, but, like, is there a way to track that sort of stuff for teams that make plays late to win ball games?
Yeah, I mean, we can track anything. I mean, we can track anything. The challenge becomes how much do you weight it, right? Like, how much does that really factor in? And there's an argument to be made that, you know, really good teams don't trail in the fourth quarter that much, right? Like there's a stat out there, the fourth quarter comebacks. You have to be losing in order to have the comeback. So, you know, like how much weight do we really give to that? And that's really what people are trying to figure out in analytical circles, especially. And that's really, like, that's probably the biggest inroads of, like, artificial intelligence and machine learning is, you know, how much do we weight this stuff? Like, how much do we actually put, you know, how do we adjust for a team that's losing, 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 and then all of a sudden starts to win? Like, if there's the talent to win games, why isn't it expressing itself in the first three quarters and only the fourth quarter, right? Like, that's kind of the question that we're looking at. and just trying to figure it out. I don't have an exact answer because we're still trying to figure it out, but that's really like the crux of the next frontier of analytics is, you know, figuring out not only what matters, but by how much it matters. And, you know, that also gets into, you know, how much could we quantify these intangibles, the leadership values, the, you know, locker room presence and, you know, on the field, off the field type stuff. I mean, there's a lot that we don't know yet, but that's certainly one of them. And it's a great question. You know, we're still trying to figure it out.
It shows that the eyes and analytics are very similar because if you throw that interception in the first quarter and you throw a touchdown in the last quarter on the last drive and you win the game, nobody remembers what you did early.
Sure.
That's right.
Analytics, you know. And I think the eye test will tell you when a guy needs to make it and he makes the plays, that's all people are concerned about. Tony Romo is not like because Tony Romo threw interceptions and had fumbles late in games. The dude threw four interceptions in the season, six in the season, but people still thought he was awful because he threw them at the most inopportune times.
Right, and how much of that, you know, and how much of that is really relevant, right? Like, if you think about it, you know, even like the opposite of it, like if you're up by 20 and, you know, you tack on another touchdown, like how much is that extra touchdown really worth? Right, like you could argue it's
depending
not
on what side you bet on.
Yeah, it depends what the number is.
True. I'm saying like just in the game, right? Like in a game setting type thing, like, you know, winning by 20, winning by 27, you know, like what's the incremental value of that? Like there's just a lot of stuff that we're trying to figure out. People say that they have it figured out. I mean, I don't buy it. And honestly, if someone does have it figured out, you're probably not going to hear about it because it's very valuable. Mostly in the context of what you just said in terms of betting, like, you know, figuring out team strength and all that other stuff. But, yeah, it's a great question, and it's something that we're still learning.
What do you think happens tomorrow night? And give me a quick overview update.
I think Washington struggles against Philadelphia. I think Philadelphia's really come into their own, Jalen Hurts especially. Ovechkin, best scorer on the planet, has been for a while. Doesn't need to catch Gretzky to prove that. At least not to me, but he certainly will have to do it to prove it to many. You know, we are witnessing true greatness. Enjoy every possible second of it.
Except for the Canadians who are haters. Everybody recognizes Ovechkin's greatness.
he's the greatest to ever do it.
We recognize your greatness, Greenberg. Thank you, buddy.
All right. Talk to you guys soon.
That's our friend Neil Greenberg. Give him a follow at @NGreenberg. That's what we do on this program. We recognize greatness.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.